And yes, welcome along to the Big Jump Off, brought to you by The Racing Post and Bet365, and joining myself, David Jennings, to preview a stellar jump season. We've got a stellar panel. We've got Pricewise Tom Siegel, we've got Up in the Antes Johnny Dineen, we've got Paul Keeley, and we've got Pat Cooney from our sponsors, Bet365. So today is the day, folks. Yes, as you can see, our 72-page supplement, The Big Jump Off, it's out. You can read Racing Writer of the Year, Patrick Mullins. You can hear from Tom Siegel. You can hear from Johnny. You've got some big opinions in there, Johnny, that we're going to hear all about over the next hour or so. And Keels, you're in there as well. So The Big Jump Off is in your Racing Post newspaper today. 72-page supplement, not to be missed. So we've got plenty to get through, folks. And don't forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel and comment and share. We want your comments. We want you to join in with us here on The Big Jump Off. So before we get stuck into all the action, tell you what's going to be winning all the races, Cheltenham and the King George and the Carl Gold Cup and all that kind of stuff. The front page of the Racing Post today, as you can see, it's an exclusive by Lee Motter said, Cheltenham Festival could be switched to a Saturday finale. Tom Siegel, what do you make of that?
I don't really get it, DJ. I mean, I think the Derby's much worse for being on a Saturday. I don't understand the fixation for everything to be on a Saturday. I think when you're a sport like racing, we want to have our own standout days. And being in the week, we stand apart. We stand apart. The Friday, the 4 days is brilliant. It's Cheltenham week. That's what everyone talks about. There's no competition with football. There's no competition with any other sport. I don't see the point.
Okay, good start. Couldn't agree more, Tom. Do you know what I think it's like, Johnny? Do you ever see the episode of Father Ted, The Raffle? Where Ted gets the car to put in the raffle and then he starts kind of battering the car and he tries, oh, there's a little dint, and all of a sudden the car is gone. They're doing too much messing with Cheltenham, aren't they?
Yeah, look, maybe, but I suppose it's, you've seen it at the likes of, say, York was traditionally Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday many years ago. Now it's like Wednesday to Saturday. Ascot was always, well, Ascot was, the heat was to be on a Saturday, isn't that right?
Yes.
Yeah, so the festival finished on a Friday. I think that there is an attempt made by these the racing authorities to get to envelop the Saturday into a festival nowadays. I don't see it as any major thing. The Gold Cup, I'd say, will still be run on a Friday, and maybe the so-called weaker days where they don't get a huge crowd. If they move it to a Saturday, then you will get a massive crowd because there'll be loads of people that can't get to the festival. So they work like most people work. They have a week.
You don't.
No, I don't. It wouldn't bother me what time or day it was on, to be honest. But I can see the logic behind it. It wouldn't make any big difference to me, really, anyway, don't think.
Or against Kills?
Yeah, I couldn't care less, to be honest. I mean, it really doesn't bother me in the slightest. I mean, all the big events that take place on Saturdays these days, don't
Cheltenham Festival
so,
on
yeah,
Saturday.
No, I mean, everyone's must just moan for the sake of moaning, isn't it? Like, you know what I mean? What does it matter?
Well, exactly. That's matter? The point. What does it matter? So leave it as it is.
You know. I don't care. I'm as simple as that. I don't care.
Do any of you care about the Mayor's Hurdle switching to Thursday?
I don't
to
care
the
about the Mayor's Hurdle at all.
Yeah. I suppose, look, it can possibly clash in with the Stairs Hurdle the same day. You could have a similar Mayor going for both races, maybe. But the Mayor's Hurdle should be restricted to 160 races, and that would stop all the messing, I think. I think the fact that it's going to be open again this year is a joke, and we're going to have to see the likes of Lassimo running it and ducking the Champion Hurdle again.
Can't happen, can it?
It will, it'll certainly.
No, it can't happen, John.
Yeah,
no,
it will.
Willie, if you're watching, it can't happen. Okay, we've got loads to get through. Let's see what's coming up on today's show. Yes, we're going to preview a couple of races at the Cheltenham Festival, but it's not just a Cheltenham preview. We're not having a Cheltenham preview in October. We're going to be looking at the King George. We're going to be looking at other big races and big talking points throughout the jump season. And you are going to get the five to follow for the jump season from all our panellists. You're going to get who they think is the best handicapped horse in training going into the season. You're going to get their one to swerve, the one horse you shouldn't back this year, and that all-important bet of the jump season. So let's get cracking. So then, let's get cracking. And we're going to kick off with the Constitution Hill conundrum.
Seriously?
Yes. Should we give up or should we keep up the fight? Constitution Hill.
DJ. We must have done this five times, lads. Every year we start with Constitution. Let's change the record. Let's do some other horse.
Tom, we have to stick to the script, okay? Constitution Hill, is he gone at the game? We'll find out in a few minutes. What price is he to win the 2026 Champion Hurdle, Pat?
He's 8-1 if you want it.
8-1, Tom, so you.
It's just so boring, isn't it? Old Constitution Hill. Still trawling out Constitution Hill. Look, he was a brilliant horse. He did two or three times. He looked like a world beater. It's a long time ago since we've seen that. Let's move on.
Johnny, there will be people watching this show and they will see 8-1 Constitution Hill with Bet365 and they will go, wow, I have got to get a bit of that. Should they take it?
Ah, look, on what we see last year, I doubt it. I mean, Punchestone run was a sealer for me anyway. Like, he finished 5th of 6th, he finished behind Break My Soul even or something like that. You know, he put up no show whatsoever. Okay, he fell in Cheltenham and Aintree. I mean, you could say he was going well on both occasions, but look, he's a horse with a load of problems now. He's rising, whatever, 9 years of age. I couldn't have him ever again in a top-level race anyway.
What is likely to happen first? You back in Constitution Hill, or are you having a bet in the Melbourne Cup?
I won't be doing either, I'd say, this season anyway, for definitely not. I couldn't see myself entertaining. Well, I'll probably see Constitution Hill, I won't see the Melbourne Cup.
Heels, Constitution Hill, forget about him.
Yeah, I mean, I can't forget about him, can you? But, I mean, it's 2.5 years since he put up a top-class hurdling performance, and that's it, when he won the champion hurdle. Like, you know, it's about £15 better than anything he's done since then. And it's a long while, isn't it?
Pat Cooney, has there been any interest in Constitution Hill at 8-1?
Well, ordinarily, when the likes of Nicky Henderson do their trainer interviews and he's quite upbeat about the horse, you tend to lay them in multiples. Not a bite this time around. He's 8-1, and he's hard to lay. I mean, if he doesn't win early on in the season, could they even retire him? Would you rather have 8-1 he doesn't even turn up at Cheltenham, or 8-1 to win at Cheltenham?
Johnny?
Or 8-1 not to turn up is a huge price. Huge price.
How much can we get on, Pat?
Yeah, well, somebody, I saw somebody on, well, we have to call it X now, don't we, saying, you know, when do we get the first story about why Constitution Hill isn't running in the Fighting Fifth?
It's very hard.
Thing is, everything's price related, Johnny will know, Keels will know.
If he blows out in the Fighting Fifth, I'm talking like similar to Punchestone, he'll never run again then, Johnny.
Yeah, that's what I was alluding to, yeah.
Okay, that's Constitution Hill. Now let's have a look at our champion hurdle market. Let's have a preview of the day one feature at the Cheltenham Festival. Pat, talk me through Bet365 anti-post market.
Well, the new kid on the block, the new line is our current favourite, 7-2 as we speak. Lossy Mouth, 9-2. Where will she go? State Man should have won it last year, of course, at 7. Our old pal Constitution Hill at 8. The Enigma, the unknown Anzadam at 12-1. He's in the could be anything section. 20-1 bar, and that includes Golden Ace, last year's winner. So, fairly solid market at the moment. The new line, I think, has got that sexy profile about it. And of course, with Lossy Mouth, will she, won't she? Yet again, a bit like Constitution Hill, we've had this conversation year in, year out.
It's probably a little bit surprising to see, when you hear those names, and to see the new line favourite, is it, Tom?
It's not surprising, because he's the one that has sort of the unbeaten aura about him. The one that they punters are going to like. They like the ones that have got a lot of ones by their name. The one at Cheltenham last year, that's the sort of horses bookmakers are going to always put in at favourite. For me, on what he's done, he's miles off State Man. For me. Now, he might get there, and we've seen over the years the Easter Bracks and the Hardy Eustaces and the Brave Incas come from, I'm not sure they all ran in that race, all come from the Turners and come on to win champion hurdles. So he's not doing anything unprecedented. Do I think he's as good as he's cracked up to be? Not on form by any stretch of the imagination, no. I think beating the Yellow Clay 3/4 of a length is miles off what State Man can do.
He's priced up on potential, Johnny, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, and I agree with what Tom said. Like, beating Yellow Clay, that line of form is shouldn't be anywhere near like winning the champion hurdle. But then when you look at the race then and you see, like, there's only about 4 or 5 of any chance of winning if you look at the betting. And I don't really fancy the new line. The fact that he's never run over 2 miles is very worrying, I think. Not that he, like, I do think if you have a horse that has loads of pace or whatever, they start them at 2 mile in. They don't go straight into a 2.5 mile race in Chepstow making their debut, normally anyway. Okay, you could say Easterbrack and the horse you mentioned, the Hardy Use Fahid, they all did it. They all came back from this race to the champion hurdle. But I don't know, I'm not so sure about that. Like, I would imagine Hardy Use has ran at 2 mile. Fahid mightn't have had, no, he may have run, I think his first race could have been 2.6 even. And like, he did win, he did something, like, there were freak horses too for starters. But like, I wonder his new line of freak. I have a feeling he's, I mean, all out to beat the Yellow Clay, who's definitely, in my opinion, the most overrated horse in Britain and Ireland, the Yellow Clay. I wouldn't have him in my mind anyway.
He's in my 5 to follow.
Is he? Yeah. I think he holds down the form, and you would be wondering if Final the Man gave his run in at Cheltenham. And if he was allowed bold, I'd say that he'd be allowed bold the next time if he was running again. If he ever met, no, he probably never won't meet him again. But if they ever met again against, like, he'd be allowed bold now, Final Demand in the race, I think.
State Man, is that the way to go in the champion hurdle market?
I think you've got to try and find something new. I mean, but what is the question? I mean, when you look at it, I mean, I know all that, as Johnny was saying, those horses that have come back in trip to win the Champion Hurdle from the intermediate race at Cheltenham, but generally that's a terrible race overall, right? You know what I mean? More horses flop out of that race that have won it. You know, if you have a look at the roll call of winners, what happened to that? What happened to that? What happened to that? What happened to that? Like, you know what I mean? It's not the greatest race to follow, right? You know, so that worried me a little bit. But looking at them, Mistake Man getting on, Constitution Hill getting on. What are we going to have?
Have you plucked something?
Well,
in the
I can't see him. I was half tempted by William Money. I want to start. I mean, I noticed. Mm. I was looking on. What's it? Are you 66 Kopeck de Boards?
We possibly are.
Because I don't think he's going to take the fences. See, we'll get to that later. Yes. But like, you know what I mean? What's the chances of he? Because it's happened before. Horses coming back from chasing the hurdling when it doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
I mean? But I want to look for something new. I don't necessarily think it's the new line, but I couldn't really tell you what.
See, I think Lossie Mouth would win it if she ran in it, myself. Mm. But the question is, will she run in it?
Can we all make our pleas now? Can we just tell, Willie does watch the show, it's actually his favourite show of the year. We need to get Lossie Mouth in a Champion Hurdle, don't we?
Well, I think Willie could have won 5 Champion Hurdles with Annie Power and Lossie Mouth that he hasn't won if he'd run them in it. Simply because he had something else running or whatever.
So do you subscribe to the theory then that Willie keeps churning out that State Man is a level above Lossie Mouth?
Well, I think he is a level above Lossie Mouth.
So what are you on about then, saying Lossie Mouth would have won a Champion Hurdle?
Well, because everything fell over. She would have won it last year.
Oh, yeah, that's
for
a good point.
Wouldn't she?
Yeah, that's a good point.
She would have won it by 20 lengths last year. But, I mean, I agree with him. State Man is a level above. But State Man's 9 now, is he? Or is he going to be rising 9? She's still a young one. She's got a fantastic Cheltenham record. I cannot believe why she isn't running.
Well, there has to be a chance that if nothing comes out of the woodwork between now and March, that she will end up there. Because they're just another year
older. I think they've got to run it. What's the point?
But how can you possibly have an anti-post belt?
You can't.
Okay, so to sum up then, your 2026 Champion Hurdle winner in mid-October is?
Well, I think State Man will win it again.
Okay, Johnny?
I'll take his chance when it ends with them, maybe. I agree, kind of agree with Paul. You'd be looking for something new, but whether he's the answer, I don't know.
Anzadam?
Yeah.
Okay, Anzadam.
What's his State Man, Pat?
7.
It's quite a big price.
And Anzadam?
8 Anzadam is 12, and so he's the unknown horse of the race, really, isn't he?
What have you seen in Anzadam that makes you think, whoa?
I'd say they were touting him last year as a Champion Hurdle contender before he got injured, and like it didn't turn out a great race, did it? Like really, it is, there isn't that much coming out from the woodwork as you say. So look, I think if he is as good a horse as there were people maybe suggesting, he wouldn't take it. It's a huge stretch to imagine to see him figuring.
Johnny, would you rather back Anzadam on the potential? This is a question that sort of think about all the time at 12-1, or State Man on what he's done at 7-1.
I suppose.
Or neither, obviously.
Yeah, look, it'll be a difficult one. It's all down to personal preference. I suppose State Man is going to give you a run. He's going to be there. He's going to run.
Yeah.
Whereas Anzadam could be 2-1, or he mightn't be there
that
at all.
Be you my know? Thinking.
Do you know what
that
I'm saying?
Yeah. The 5-point disparity. It's not enough.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah. Like you could see a situation where State Man maybe gets beat a few times, but he's still about a 5-1 shot. Whereas Anzadam could be carry all before him or could be chasing at that stage. You know what I mean? They don't echo. So it's a difficult one to call. I think I'd chance Anzadam at 12-1. I think I would.
One thing I would say, fellas, is Anzadam and State Man both owned by Mrs. Donnelly.
Yeah.
But they have a history of running their good horses against each other. So you're not coming into this race thinking, but A will run and B won't. They'll probably both run if they're there.
It helps
all
Pat
guns
when
blazing.
You're Joe Donnelly's best mate.
I know. I think they'll run all right. I would have said they did. They've run dual horses and races
absolutely
before.
Yeah.
Keels, are you going to take a flyer with Kopeck de Boards?
No, I'll go with William Money, who was second to Kopeck de Boards at Cheltenham. And the pair of them slammed Romeo Culio, Salvatore Mundy.
Is there no chance he goes chasing?
Well, originally Barry Connell had said I did the story. He's definitely going chasing. I spoke to him at the end of last season. And then when he started looking at the Champion Hurdle market
and seeing the
new line in his favour, I think now he's thinking, we have a real speedy horse here.
Yeah.
We could win a Champion Hurdle. I think that's... I'd say at the moment it looks like he's staying over hurdles.
He's the one that, you know... I don't get tempted by that many anti-post prices. I mean, maybe I'm a bit of a cynic, but I'm one of those that thinks that anti-post prices these days are just for show. They're for media soundbites rather than serious betting. They don't... When you look at them, I think, what... Why am I thinking about backing this at 6-1 and in March and it's October now. We don't even know if they're still alive half of them, do we?
That's great. Keels, thanks for that. On our anti-post preview show for the jump season.
Oh, there you go.
It's all a bit of a joke.
I agree with you about that horse. He's got a lot of pace, hasn't he? And nothing really went right in the Supreme, I never thought, for him.
Yeah, that could be a shout. And we'll finish up with you, Pat, your champion hurdle tip.
Today's state man, but maybe nearer the time, it might just be the favourite.
There you go. That's your first champion hurdle preview. So right on cue, you heard Johnny's bombshell. The Yellow Clay, the most overrated horse at the moment is the Yellow Clay. Let's hear from his trainer, Gordon Elliott, about what he's expecting for the season ahead, about all his big guns, Brighter Days Ahead, Romeo Coolio, and the Yellow Clay. I caught up with him last week. So obviously this is a very hectic time for Gordon Elliott, but he squeezed us in for a couple of minutes to talk about the season ahead. Gordon, thanks a million for joining us. Obviously things are getting extremely busy in Calentra. We'll kick off with Brighter Days Ahead. How is she? Obviously she was so brilliant for the first half of last season. What can we expect from her this season?
She seems very good, David. She's plenty of work done at home. Probably just waiting for a bit of rain now. Obviously looking at Down Royal or Navan maybe to start her off, but she's been schooling well, she's in good form, so really looking forward to starting her off.
Are you happy, as I am, to think that the first half of last season was the real Brighter Days Ahead and the second half wasn't?
Yeah, definitely, 100%. Look, she had a very hard race in Leperson, maybe that took its toll on her for the rest of the season. And we had a couple of other issues I think we've ironed out now as well, but really looking forward to going chasing with her. And you know, if the Brighter Days Ahead from the first half of the season last year turns up, she'll be dangerous, won't she?
So the way she jumps hurdles, Gordon, would make you think that she could make a very exciting chaser. She attacks her hurdles, and if she does the same over fences, it could be extremely exciting.
Yeah, look, she looks like a chaser, to be honest. Like most of the Jigginstown horses, she's bought to be a chaser. She's loads of scope. I think fences will bring the best out of her, and I'm really, really looking forward to going jumping, you know.
And when are we likely to see her?
You could see her in Down Royal or you could see her in Navan 2 weeks later, just depending on what rain comes and whatnot. But yeah, she's in good form and she's well.
And is the ultimate aim, if all goes well, the mare's chase potentially at Cheltenham would look bad for her?
Ah, listen, she hasn't had much luck at Cheltenham when she's been there before, so... Look, it's not going to be the be-all and end-all, but yeah, look, hopefully we get there in one piece and she'll take all the beating, you know.
One horse who's ran a couple of crackers at Cheltenham is, of course, Jerry Calam. I know he missed a lot of last season. How is he? I think you're playing the steady approach to him this season, are you?
Yeah, definitely. He's back with us. He was in Robert Powers in pre-training. He's back with us now. Look, you're probably not going to see him till after Christmas. And we'll take it steady. You know, he hasn't got a grade one penalty now and then grade twos and threes. So, look, we'll start him off small and see where we go. Whether he's still a Gold Cup horse or not, I'm not sure. But time will tell.
Okay. You've got a lot of chasers to go to war with this season. You've got a lot of good novices from last season going over fences. And obviously, we'll learn more as the season goes on. Is there any of the open kind of staying chasers that you're particularly excited about?
Look, we've a lot of horses there, David. You know, a lot of them are getting going. I suppose the next 2 or 3 weeks we're going to learn an awful lot when to start off. But look, we've a good bunch of horses, and again, really looking forward to it.
And you've decided to keep the Yellow Clay over hurdles. Talk to me about that decision.
Yeah, look, as you said, we have a good few chasers, so we're trying to split them all up. He could start off in Down Royal in that condition sort of up the north. It used to be the WKD, it's changed names, I'm not sure what it's called now. Wouldn't shock me if you saw him stepping up the 3 miles at Christmas in Leperstown, you know? That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. So you have obviously Tihupu, who's towards the top of the tree of your staying hurdlers. The Yellow Clay could be a proper stairs hurdle contender if he did stay.
Yeah, I think he could. He's very laid back, so I don't see why he won't stay. Look, we'll start them off and we'll try and work our way up to 3 miles in Leperstown and we'll know where we're going then, you know.
Okay, this is where it gets serious now. This is where you come into your own, Gordon, because every year we do this kind of preview and you pick out individual horses for us and you hit the nail on the head every year. So I want Gordon Elliott's novice chaser to follow for the season.
Romeo Coolio.
Yeah, you think he'll... Has he got all the ingredients to make it to the top, do you think?
I think he does, yeah. I mean, he was just below at all hurdles. I think the way he jumps fences, he's made for fences. So, yeah, really looking forward to him.
And when will we see him?
Again, you could see him in Down Royal or Navan. I'd be shocked if one of them don't end up in Down Royal. So we'll see what the next couple of weeks tells us.
Okay, so Romeo Cuglio is Gordon Elliott's novice chaser to follow for the season. Your novice hurdler to follow for the season. Something that might end up in the Supreme or the Turners, maybe at Cheltenham.
Jesus. You have me on the spot now, to be honest. I'm
this is going to be getting the best answers. Instinct.
Yeah, I'm a little bit behind at the moment. I like the juvenile Monge too that came from France. She done a nice bit of work there last week. I like what she's showing me. So there's a juvenile, a novice hurdler. I mean, you've Calypso's Chance, you've them type of horses that ran well in bumpers last year. That wasn't really bumper horses. Mm. Yeah, no luck is watch this space. Yeah.
Okay, there we go. So we got two for the price of one. There we got Monge two. Where could she run, Gordon?
She could go for that winner's hurdle in Down Royal, that 3-year-old winner's hurdle.
Okay, so Monge 2, juvenile hurdler to follow, and Calypso Chance, potentially a novice hurdler to follow for Gordon. Gordon, listen, thanks a million for taking the time out to join us on the Big Jump Off, and I'm sure we'll be seeing plenty of you for the season ahead. Thanks very much.
Thanks, David. Bye-bye.
So it's not all about Cheltenham, of course. Let's have a look at the Christmas showpiece. Not long now, folks. It is the King George. And what a race we have in store if all these line up, Pat Cooney.
Yeah, normally when we get to mid-October, we're very much guess the runner, aren't we, for the King George. It's a little bit like that with the front two in the market. 4-1 each Gaelic Warrior and Factor File. But those that we know are probably going to run, Banbridge, who won it last year, he's 14. Ile Francer, now he's back over, he's now 12. So 4 each, the front two coupled. And then Banbridge 14, Ile France 12. I can only imagine they're going to shorten up in the market. So it's very much geared towards the top two in the race. Gaelic Warrior, you'd like to think he'd run in this race, wouldn't you? But is he more of a spring horse? Factor File, will he run? So I'm not sure. Maybe one of them will run, one of them won't. So at the moment, you're probably better off looking at the Ile France at 12, Banbridge at 40. On the basis, I'd imagine they're going to rock up for it. With the front two in the market, you just don't know. But they probably are that class apart, were they to turn up. So tread warily on the front two. Don't be afraid to go shopping at a bigger price for one.
So we have 4-1 joint favourites at the moment. 4-1 joint favourites. Gaelic Warrior and Factor File. Surely Johnny Dineen. There's only one of them he could be thinking about. Right-handed. Won his last two starts. Gaelic Warrior is every inch your King George horse. He's finally getting there, isn't he, Johnny?
I don't know. I think Factor File is deserved to win the King George. And I would expect him to run this year. I would. I couldn't. I don't think he's going to go head to head against Galloping the Champ again at Leopardstown. Christmas, 3 miles. They've moved John Durkin back a few weeks to make it viable that you can run in both. So he can run into John Durkin and on to Christmas. I would have said that he's born for the King George Factor File. 4-1 is. I think this will be his year for now. I skipped it last year, but I don't see him doing it a second time. It's particularly after the few run-ins they had with Gallop and Deschamps, and at 4-1, I'd be thinking he'd more likely to run than the other horse, maybe, you know.
Gaelic Warrior.
Yeah, and the rest of them are they're goodish horses, but they're very beatable at the same time. I do think if he turns up, he'd be going off under 2-1.
Really?
Oh, wow. Definitely, yeah.
Ability wise, do you think Factor File has more ability than Gaelic Warrior?
Oh, by a mile,
what?
Absolute mile. I think the best jumps for him by a distance is anything tied in with Gallop and Deschamps. Gaelic Warrior has form tied in with Grey Dawning. Just different level completely. And if the two of them did run, Factor File would mangle Gallop the other yoke, absolutely.
Gaelic Warrior, Warrior his yeah. name, yeah.
I couldn't agree with Johnny more. I think he's right. I think the Gallop and the Champ form is miles ahead, which is why I think Fast or Slow is quite an interesting horse for that race. Because he is right up there with the best chase form of the last 3 or 4 years, I think. Now, he's had his issues. We know he's had his issues, but I don't know if it was you, DJ, but your man was really, really confident that he had him back to where he was. Mm-hmm. And if he runs, I think the King George is made for him, because there's not a... He came down, didn't he, in a couple of times, but I think he's a brilliant jumper. He's an absolute electric jumper. I think Kempton would suit him perfectly. And I think if he was back to the form that we saw him when he beat Gaelic Warrior, Gallopan those times, he's got a massive chance.
And what's interesting, I spoke to Martin Brazel only a couple of weeks ago, and he said they actually brought him in earlier because he missed the second half of last season, or most of last season, they brought him in earlier. So fitness-wise, he's going to be ahead of the curve. And the King George is the ultimate early season name for him. So you could be onto something there.
I just think I love him. I think he's a great horse, a proper top-class horse. I think Factor File is too. He was just the best horse I saw at Cheltenham Festival last year. I thought he was amazing. But
what the hell is Gaelic Warrior?
Yeah, he's all right, isn't he? He's just all right.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's a level below, though. I think that his level of form...
He's the other yoke. I love that. Yeah, the other yoke. I just had a quick look. That name is available. Right? If you want to buy a horse, the other yoke. Yeah. Great name for all.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I just think that that kind of form with Gallop and Deschamps been factified, and I know the way you're thinking, and fast or slow, it's balanced, or even, you know what I mean? That kind of level of form is better than the other chase form, to be honest. And winning an entry... I wouldn't have thought that would put him on the same level as them.
Is there a case for saying Gaelic Warrior is a spring horse? He seemed to come best.
His horse
at the
is extremely hard to keep right by all accounts, and that's the problem. But 4-1 Gaelic Warrior, 4-1. I wouldn't back either of them at 44-1 to turn up. To be honest.
Whoa! Say that again. You wouldn't back either of them at 44-1 to turn up.
No. We know, right? The Irish blow us out of the water when it comes to, you know, pretty much all divisions anyway. Right, but they do it in the King George with the D team. They don't do it with the A team. Right, you know what I mean? They won three of the last four runnings, haven't they? Tornado, Flyer, Hewick, and Banbridge. Right, so just ignore all these ones at the front of the market. They never turn up. There's always going to be an excuse for them. They're always favourites. Right, none of them ever turn up. It's so rare when it happens. Right, you know, so why bother focusing on it? The two obvious ones are the first two from last year. They're both double figures. They'll both be single figures on the day. They're both going to run, assuming they stay healthy, which is obviously we never know. Ile Francais is now with Tom George, yep. Who's been in Britain for ages rather than having to come across. And Banbridge was superb when he won it last year. And if he gets the good ground that he likes, the decent ground that he likes, they're the ones that are going to show up. And they're double figure prices behind ones in the market that probably aren't.
So as part of our terrific 72-page supplement, the big jump off, Patrick Mullins, Racing Writer of the Year, writes, Gaelic Warrior was sent up and trip going on for Factor File after a little while, and it is up he will stay. We don't get everything right. Since he had the hood added, he has been a dream ride, capable of stretching out in distance. Aintree and Sandown were late season success of note. Deafness suits him the way it suited Beethoven. Leopardstown is far from his preferred field of play, so perhaps this year he can catch the boat to Kempton for Christmas. When I look at him, though, all I see is gold. He thinks he's a Gold Cup horse. He's going to the King George,
so
Paul Keighley.
How many of Willie Mullins' proper Gold Cup horses have been sent to the King George? He doesn't want them ready that time.
Florida Pearl?
Doesn't want them ready that time. Yeah, but he knew Florida Pearl didn't really stay the Gold Cup trip.
Right, so you know, you're keeping the faith with Ile
Francais. It's rare when they send the top ones there. So I would back Ile Francais and last year's winner Banbridge.
Are you in any way concerned with that run in France from Ile Francais last time?
Oh yeah, he's a complete blowout horse, isn't he? He's either really good or awful.
He's like you at golf, isn't he?
Right, you know what I mean. But he has been really good.
There's no really good.
No. Awful and occasionally passable, I think is what it is. But no, he's either really good or awful. But he's been really good twice at Kempton.
I couldn't trust him anymore.
No,
I couldn't trust him. I think he probably bleeds. Something's up. He certainly
does bleed. But he likes Kempton. He'd probably get his ground. Like, you know what I mean? So
would you, just out of interest for my own person, would you give fast or slow a chance in the race if he was to turn up? Or would you be worried?
I don't know horses that have been off for that long.
It's not
enough
for that long.
Well, yes, really, isn't it? Was it 1-1 last year?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Horses with problems, they don't excite me when it comes to, but certainly not when it comes to anti-post betting.
No. Not even. What price is he, Pat?
Fast or slow is 12-1.
Oh, he's only 12s.
Yeah, there's two other interesting ones, perhaps. Django Bai of Nicky Henderson's, that's 16-1. And the Jukebox Man of Ben Paulin, who's a bit of a hype horse, he's 16-1 as well. And you know, the name of the game with anti-post, you're trying to back a horse that's going to be a lot less on the day. If they come out and win impressively on their seasonal reappearance, next stop Kempton, you know, they'll be single figures as well. But as we touched on, 4-1 each or two, they do look in terms of levels, they're the top two, aren't they, to beat. But are they going to get this? So, you know, the likes of Django Bai, the Jukebox Man, fast or slow, you know, if they come through the prep races, they're going to be a lot shorter on the day.
Who do you fancy for the King George? Don't forget to get your comments in. Tell us who's going to win the Christmas showpiece at Kempton. It's fast or slow for Tom Siegel. I'm the only one still in the Gaelic Warrior camp. I'm with Patrick Mullins. Mm. You're with Dessert. Yeah. Factophile for Johnny Dineen. Keels?
Yeah, well, you lot are back three non-runners already. I mean, what a way to start the jump season.
No, Ben.
Last year's 1-2 for me.
Okay, last year's 1-2. It is Banbridge and Ile Francais for Keels. And for you, Pat?
I just think the best horse in the race is Factophile.
Okay, there we go. That's our King George preview. So, in keeping with the staying chase team, is Galloping the Champs too old to regain his Cheltenham Gold Cup crown? He's going to be 10 next March, and the last 10-year-old to win the Gold Cup was Cool Dawn back in 1998. You are very ageist when it comes to horses.
Yeah.
You don't like them when they get old. No, is this guy too old to win a Gold Cup?
I suppose you could look at it two ways. 10 years old, they have a bad record, obviously. I think when this chaser gets to 10, it's time to stop backing him, generally speaking anyway. It's particularly at a level like this. You could say that he's only going to be, 8 or 9 months older than Punchestown at the same time. You know what I mean? When he put up one of his best ever performances, second in the race last year. He's only a year older, but I suppose that going from 9 to 10 is a big stumbling block, I presume. I couldn't say for certain. You look down through the list of possible runners, I couldn't say for certain that he wouldn't win it. But I have a feeling he didn't give his running there last year. Do you know what I mean?
Never travelled in the early part of the race.
Not really, no. So maybe you're dealing with one of the better horses that ever has run over fences in a long time. But I don't know, 10 years of age, that figure 10 would put me off backing him anyway. But I wouldn't actually say that I wouldn't be as dogmatic as saying he couldn't possibly win it, but I wouldn't be on his side anyway.
Okay, there we go. Sometimes there is grey. It's not just black and white for Johnny. There is grey sometimes.
I'd say his only chance of winning it is if the ground is very soft again. Younger horses will have quicker legs for him. If the ground is like it was last year, it needs to be proper soft for him. Then that stamina and just hardness comes in. Like, you know what I mean? And when he won his 2 Gold Cups, it was very soft and he was very, very good. I just think if you get your springish sort of ground that we got last year when it wasn't so deep, he'd struggle.
What price is he, Pat?
He's 6-1 at the moment, and you do go back to a year ago. I know the way you think, he just ran away from him, didn't he? And he's only going to get better. I'm a bit with Keels. I'd be more worried about what the ground's going to be than does it say 10 after his name. If it's soft ground, he's sure to run a big race. But watch the Gold Cup back. It's awfully hard to think he's going to improve as much as the winner did, isn't it?
Mm. Where does he rank, Tom? So we're talking about modern day chasers, the Cotto Stars, the Denmans. Is Galloping the Champs a better horse than Denman?
Listen, I'm not one that goes, he's better than him, he's better than him. He's a brilliant chaser.
Well, it's your job now to do that.
I don't know, he's better than Denman. I think he's on a par with, I think that on their day, they can all beat each other.
Is he better than Denman?
I don't know. That's the answer. I think some days Denman would beat him, and some days he'd beat Denman. Round Leopardstown, he'd beat Denman. No problem whatsoever. Round Newbury, probably the other way around. You know what I mean? It's just the way it is. I think he's a brilliant horse. I think there's every chance he can. I'm not one for ages. I think he's, it's not. The thing about the Gold Cup field is that when you have 75% of all the best horses in one yard, you tend to get a small, Paul Nicholls hasn't got any staying chasers. Dan Skelton hasn't got any staying chasers. It's going to be...
Whoa, wash your mouth out. Caldwell Potter.
He's not going to win the Gold Cup, DJ.
I agree with you there.
Do you know what I mean? You're going to have, I know the way you're thinking, versus Galopin, versus Factophile maybe, versus Gaelic, or it's going to be Willys versus I know the way you're thinking. And therefore, the way I would look at the races, I know it's probably not the way Johnny would look at it or whatever. He's trying to find the interloper that might come in and run a big race at a big price, because it doesn't take much to finish third in a Gold Cup or fourth in a Gold Cup these days. So when you're getting your extra prices on the day, especially, I think there is value in some of the outsiders.
And okay, hold it there. Don't give away the game.
But that's the way I'd look at it at the moment, because I think I know the way you're thinking will win, and I think Galloping the Champs might well be second again.
So in the last 25 years, okay?
Yeah.
Since the turn of the century, is he in the top 3 staying chasers you've seen?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. I agree with what Thomas said there. At a place like Leopardstown, I'd say he'd be nigh on unbeatable, but other horses have preferences for other race courses, a bit like Denman in Newbury and Cotto Star in Kempton. He would probably be unbeatable there. So, look, on his day, it's very hard to put one one horse against another of different years, but on his day, he's as good as any of them, I'd say, yeah.
You have him up there as well, Kiels?
Oh, he's one of the great horses of the last however long, yeah, definitely. Well, way better horse than Albion Photo, for instance, who won two Gold Cups.
I think he's
considerably better than Best Mate as well. Yeah, he's an exceptional horse. Love to see him do it again. But I only think he can if it's soft ground, because there'll be younger legs. But having said that, shortest priced second season chaser for the Gold Cup is Madgeborough. He's got as much chance of running in the Gold Cup as I've got a ride in a minute. You know what I mean? I mean, where are they all? Like, you know what I mean?
Fancy him if you're on him, by the way.
You know what I mean? You see the Gold Cup better for the next year. It's normally, you know, you'll have a couple from the previous year and then loads of second season chasers in that list. Right? The next one we're betting is Haiti Couleur and Caldwell Potter. Caldwell Potter doesn't look like an out-and-out stayer, does he? And
no.
Casey Kalua probably need another mile. Well, yeah, so where are they up and coming?
So before we get to those prices, in a word, can Galloping the Champs win the 2026 Gold Cup?
Yeah.
If I'd say yes or no, I'd say no, but it's possible.
I'm going to say it's possible.
So only that's a yes, in other words.
Only if it's soft, okay. Yeah. So there we go. He's not out in the game yet. He could win it at the age of 10, Galloping the Champs, but only if the ground is soft. Let's have a look at that Cheltenham Gold Cup market. Pat Cooney, what's favourite?
Well, it's 7-2, I know the way you're thinking. 6 Galloping. And then, are they going to run or aren't they? There's a whole host of them. Factor File 10, Gaelic 16, Fast or Slow 20, Madgeborough 25. Not so sure we'd want any of them in the raffle. The interesting ones, perhaps Nick Rocket, 33-1. Who knows, he might go there en route to Aintree. And Haiti Couleur, Rebecca Curtis. She's quite keen to run him first time out in our Charlie Hall chase. He's an Irish national winner. He could win the Charlie Hall. Okay, he's still got work to do.
I like him.
And he's one of them. Sean Bowen rides on the day. And he's still there with a lap to go.
I like him.
You teased us earlier, Tom. You said there was something in here at bigger prices.
I like him. I like Haiti Couleur. He just wins, and he's a brilliant jumper. And he does what he says on the tin. I don't know how good he is. Is he better than Native River? He could be. He didn't even win the 4 miler, did he? Native River or the National Hunt Chase. Did he?
No, Manila Rocco won it. That
Manila Rocco won it. I think he's a really, really interesting horse for the season, just because of his Cheltenham record, of the way he jumps, of the way he goes about his business. I don't know how high he can go. Look, he's got a long way to go, but he's
got the class, though.
Well, who knows?
The Cup.
Yeah, look, if I know the way you're thinking, is a bit of a dodgy jumper. Galopin's 10. There's nothing else. He's just, you know, Factor File's not going to stay, is he? We know that. I think that's very unlikely. Gaelic Warrior is Gaelic Warrior. I know he's your best friend, but he's a bit of a monkey for
me. We've had a few fallings out there over the years, let me tell you.
And there's nothing else. And so I just thought, if you're playing now, a horse like Haiti Couleur at 40-1, 33-1, he's going to jump. He's got a long way to go. But horses have done it in the past.
Yes.
Look where I know where you're thinking was at this time last. He'd won the same race.
Mm.
No, he won it off a bit higher, and he won it a little bit easier.
Well, of course, look where Albion Photo was.
Where Albion Photo
was. On the deck
was.
When presenting Percy won the What's It. Absolutely winded, you know, took ages to get up, was being beaten miles. You know, something's going to come out of the woodwork.
Something that jumps and has his form round Cheltenham.
You know,
I'm not sure it's that big a jump as people think.
The ones that ran in the Brown Advisory and a Binaway, you know, your Stella Stories, your Lecky Watsons and all that, one of them might come, you know, they're massive price.
So I'm not being mad. Look, I'm getting some nods here.
You are being a bit mad because I know the way you're thinking on the Kim Muir. And Haiti Couleur won the National Hunt Chase.
Yeah,
sorry, you are price-wise. I know you get everything right.
I got that wrong.
Occasionally, you do get something wrong.
But you know what I mean, what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
I think the Native River one is a good example. And I suppose, look, at this stage in his career, Haiti Colours or Couleur, or whatever you like to call them. Colours.
Well, you butchered it well there anyway.
Surely a better horse than Synchronise was at this junction of his career, I'd imagine he was.
Yeah, and he's the type of horse that just loves what he does, doesn't he? He goes out, he jumps, he just...
He's a good horse, yeah, he is. Yeah.
I mean, so hopefully we'll see him in the Bet365 Charlie Hall at Weatherby.
Nice, Pat.
Two weeks today.
You know,
if he wins that, then he'll be, I don't know, 16, 20 to 1.
If he gets to being a Gold Cup horse and he's got Bowen on him, he's going to be single figures. If he's good enough to run in it, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be, Bowen is probably his best chance of ever winning the Gold Cup so far. But if you get a fella like that on it as well, and he has a few wins in front of him, he could be single figures. Yeah, you wouldn't know.
Is he Bowen's ride rather than Ben Jones? Yeah.
Yeah, he's Bowen's ride. Right, okay.
Yeah.
So like there'll be people watching this now and they'll be going, is it completely a price thing with Haiti Couleur? Because they'll be going, galloping the Champs against Haiti Couleurs of level weights. What are you on about, guys? Is it just a price thing?
Well, it's a price thing, and it's what you're hoping to happen as the season goes on, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We're not backing them now. They're not running tomorrow. Right, they're running in March, and you're hoping things happen. That's when that's where you have a bet, Andy Post.
Yeah.
You're hoping things go your way.
That's like it. And you're into the price, isn't it? I mean, it's 33-1.
Yeah, exactly.
You're never going to get that much on, are you? So if you want a bit of fun and you're looking for something that could be, as Johnny said, a single figure price on the day, for me, he was the one that stood out.
And Andy Post is nowadays is all about finding the novice hurdler that Townend will be on. It's finding the chaser that will graduate from being a good handicapper into the grade one level and getting rewarded by maybe getting big prizes. Obviously, you're going to back horses that
aren't good enough.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That don't make the step up or first time they run the maiden hurdle, 5-200 beaten. You know what I mean? And you can throw away your docking. But that's what Antipost is. If you can find it, like put it this way, I would back the horse to win the Supreme Novice Hurdle, I would back Paul Townend to win it this minute at, say, 3-1.
Would you?
I would. Okay. Yeah. But I don't know the horse he's going to ride. That's the beauty about Antipost. It's trying to find the horse he's going to be on.
But you think you do. Stay tuned later in the show. Johnny thinks he has found Paul Townend's ride. Neither the Supreme or the Turners, because he thinks he's got a really good one, Willie has, for that. Right on cue, we spoke about Haiti Couleurs. Lewis Porteous spoke to Rebecca Curtis all about Haiti Couleurs in today's Big Jump Off, which you can get in the Racing Post.
What does it say? No chance of running in the Gold Cup.
Not in the same league as Gallop and the Champion. Keels, what have you found for us at big prices?
Nothing,
when?
I would imagine.
What for?
For the Gold Cup.
For the Gold Cup.
For the Gold Cup, well, I mentioned Lecky Watson, Stella Story. Go for something. Go at this stage, go for something a bit daft.
What about the Jukebox Man? I know Harry Wilson has been
Like I said earlier, I mean, he looked really good last year, didn't he? But I just don't like horses that have had their problems. Like, you know, this is just too risky a bit, Annie Post, for me.
Okay, so
the one thing I wouldn't like about the Jukebox Man is that he was going to run in the. He was. They were on about bringing him back in trip, weren't they? Like rather than that he was an out 3 miler. You know what I mean? That kind of way from 3 miles. I don't know. He good horse, all right, but again, he's heading little niggle, and that's never good.
No, absolutely not. So selection time for the Gold Cup.
Well, I have backed Haiti Couleur each way at a big price. Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't be giving up on Gaelic Warrior. If he wins the King George, you never know. He could end up, as Patrick Mullen said, in the Gold Cup. Johnny?
Look, I'll go with the obvious favourite. I'll go with, I know the way you're thinking, even though he's tight price now, and they wouldn't be encouraging him to take 7-2, but like there's a good chance that he won't win any race between here and Gold Cup day. But he's probably the horse they have to beat, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't spoken about him yet. He's favourite.
Yeah.
Was that an illusion in March, or is that the real? I know the way you're thinking.
Oh, I think that's the real. I think he's a real, really good horse, without a doubt. I think he was like only lobbing around for the whole year, and he'd probably do something similar here. Like he'll go to the John Druck and get beat. He'd probably go to Christmas, could get beat, and he'd get beat again maybe in the Hennessy meeting or whatever you like to call it, or DRF or whatever. But he'll go to Cheltenham, and it'll be a different. I know the way you're thinking that we've been seeing all year. And look, he'd probably be 3-1 or 7-2 on the day. He should be, and if he hasn't won all these races, he probably will be. But he's on the day; he'll still be the horse they have to beat.
Kales, we know Paul Nicholls is a master, or certainly has been a training staying chasers. Is there any chance he could mould Caldwell Potter into a Gold Cup horse, and he could run in the Bet365 Charlie Hall chase, Pat?
Possibly so. Yeah, possibly. You wouldn't rule it out. Trip is an issue, maybe.
You know, I mean, you're his biggest fan, Caldwell Potter, isn't he?
Yeah, he did me a good turn at Cheltenham. I don't think he's a Gold Cup horse.
I thought he was a disappointing horse, and then suddenly, you know, we've been told all along that he wanted soft ground, and suddenly he gets a bit of good ground, and he goes and wins at Cheltenham and Aintree, and he looked really good at both. He didn't look like he was crying out for the extra yardage at Aintree, though, did he?
I think he's miles off. I think he's miles off.
Yeah, it's quite possibly a long way off anyway, because it wasn't a great race at Aintree, was
very
it?
Very good jumper, though, Tom.
He's a very good jumper.
What he's got is a brilliant jockey.
Yeah.
That makes horses look absolutely superb. Maybe better than they actually are.
Yeah, he's got a long way to go. I mean, a lot of horses have. I mean, horses can improve, obviously. You know, they've got to do so. Like, you know, I'd rather take a chance on a couple of massive outsiders at this stage of the season.
There we go. Give us those two again.
Again, Stellar Story and Lecky Watson. Why not?
There we go. Stellar Story and Lecky Watson. Course form for Keels. That is your 2026 Gold Cup preview. So far we've been talking about all the horses you should back this season, and should back for Cheltenham, and should back in the King George. But these are the ones you shouldn't be backing. Yes, it is time for 1-2 Swerve, where our panellists are going to give a high profile name that you can forget about this season, because it's going to be a write-off. Tom Siegel.
Now let's start with DJ, you always do this. Let's start with you. Okay. What do you reckon?
I'm going to go with Ballyburn. I think Ballyburn, I was his biggest fan early on in his career. Obviously, chasing didn't go according to plan for Ballyburn. And I know the talk now, he's going to be trained as a stairs hurdle horse, and I know he's got loads of ability, but even when you go back to his novice hurdle form, beating Slade Steel and Jimmy Desai, is he actually as good as we thought he was? Maybe he is. Maybe hurdles, return to hurdles will bring out the best of him again. But I think he's now probably overrated, Ballyburn, and I think he could struggle a little bit this season. So Ballyburn for me. For you, Tom?
I will go with the new Lion, not because I don't like him, but he's priced up like he's Istabrak, and you don't know he's Istabrak. Do you know what I mean? He's priced up like he's some wonder horse, and the form isn't there for me yet. Now, he might get there. He might get there, and it's not a great division, the champion hurdle division. But I don't like backing horses like that at 3-1, ever. And we got to see him in the fighting fifth against some proper horses that we know are good before I am interested in him in any race.
Year Istabrak won his champion hurdle. What price was he?
I have no idea. You're going to
7-2.
There we go.
7-2.
And that's what you're asking to take the new Lion now.
Okay, so it's the new Lion for Tom. He thinks he could be in for a tricky season. For you, Johnny, who are you taking on?
Yeah, I was actually going to put up Ballyburn originally, but
sorry about that, Johnny.
I was, yeah, but I changed my mind. I was watching James Bond the other night on a thing, and he was.
That's all right. You don't need to say what it was.
Yeah, and he was asked about Lulamba. I couldn't get over the lack of love for it from him.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And he's ridden it, like, obviously. The man
he won it in Punch of Ten,
said to me, you rode Lulamba, is he a super horse? He said, he's a bit to go yet. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't get the feeling that he thinks he's a top horse. You know, and I didn't look at Panair's farm. And did they say Panair beat him in Cheltenham and then they reversed it in Punchestown? And then I look at Panair's nowhere in Royal Ascot, finished tailed off in a race in Ascot, or would be out of sight. So I'm wondering, is that farm any good at all? So I'd nearly put up both of them, Lulamba and Panair. I'd be sceptical of the Triumph Hurdle farm, whether them horses were any good at all.
Okay, so Triumph Hurdle wasn't worth a pot in March. He's taken on Lulamba and Panaros. Keels, you want to Swerve?
Yeah, well, similar down to prices more than anything else, but Kopeck de Bord, I mean, 5-2 for an Arkle already, I mean, it's just stupid, isn't it? Ridiculous. And he's also by no risk at all, who, yes, he was responsible for Alaho, but Alaho is the only chaser by no risk at all to have won a chase worth more than 40 grand to the winner. Like, you know what I mean? And a lot of them have confidence issues when it comes to jumping.
It's interesting.
So let's wait and see.
I think we're different from Johnny, but Kopeck de Bord and Final Demand are 5-2 to win the two rate. I wouldn't back them at 5-2 on the day, given what happened last year with Madsborough and Ballyburn, let alone 5-2 now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
5-2 is a big price for Johnny.
Well, that's what I said. That's why I said Johnny's different.
Johnny cannot.
I wouldn't back them.
No, I wouldn't agree with that. But my argument would be, okay, a guy comes in with a pot of money, £50 notes, bang out of the bank, puts them up on the table and say, you can take whatever you want there, lads, at 5-2 Final Demand, at 4-1 the new Line, and what's the other one at 5-2?
Kopeck de Bord.
Kopeck de Bord. I don't think I'd want to lay any of the three of them, even at them, what are bad prices. Do you know what I mean? Because I can see the new Line going off 6-4. I can see Kopeck de Bord going off 6-4, and then you can see Final Demand going off 2-5. It's a possibility, you know what I mean? They are gammy prices, but they're there to be laid at the same time if anybody wants to. You know what I mean? At 5-2, I would rather back Final Demand at 5-2 than Kopeck de Bord at 5-2 for sure. Though that I would, I think Final Demand is the makings of a really, really top horse. Who has less questions to answer than the other guy. He's not free. He's not keen. He's going to be a good jumper. Whereas Kopeck de Bord's jumping is very questionable. I would have thought.
Yeah, that's a great stat about no risk at all. In fairness. Brilliant
stuff. He has otherwise produced a lot of fairly average chasers. One brilliant one, you've got your walk in the park, got loads, for instance. Like, you know, so let's wait and see. Yeah, he's a bit younger than walk in the park, I know, and he hasn't had, loads and loads and loads of seasons, but I just see quite a few of them, and they just look as though they lose a bit of confidence. You know, and he wasn't exactly the slickest of hurdlers at times, Kopeck de Bors, was he? And if he makes one and makes a mistake and it starts to scare him like it has done with some of the other no-risk at all, then you're worried.
I think you've been drinking in the same boozer as him, have you?
Yeah, we're a couple of Kopecks here. Well, I was saying to my wife last night. She was
here we go.
I'll keep it clean.
Cooney's bedtime secrets.
Yeah, I'll keep it clean. She says, why are you swerving that one in? Because she dabbles in horse racing. But I said, well, he can't jump them hurdles, so why is he going to jump them ones? And she was, oh, it's different. You stand back on your hocks. But he's got to jump more fences in a 2 mile novice chase than he has hurdles. Mm. And he kicks hurdles out the ground. He's a free goer. He could be sensational, right? I get that. He could be sensational. But I'd be very keen to see him make his chase debut. He could be one he's doing 100 mile an hour to the first fence. Mm. Bulldozes it out the ground and still wins, and we're all, ooh, I don't know.
Very
about
impressed
that.
Your wife knows who Kopeck de Bors is. My wife would know who Red Rum is.
Yeah. She says he plays for Liverpool.
Really knows
doesn't
who Tom Seagull is.
Exactly.
Yeah, so just on that basis, if he can't jump then, why is he going to jump then? I know it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah. You've simplified the pad, I like it.
Yeah. And I'm asking you to take 5-2 to be right. Mm. It doesn't thrill me, the price, given what he has to do. But I do know who we're taking on.
Spoke to my missus yesterday. She said, why are you swerving the Hoover and the washing up?
We have got a pair of Kopecks. One to swerve, Kopeck to board for Keels and Pat Cooney. Johnny is taking on the Triumph Hurdle form with Poneros and Nulamba. I'm swerving Ballyburn this season. And Tom is not really in favour of the new lines price more than anything looking ahead to this season. So that will move us seamlessly on to our novice chasers. And Johnny, you spoke about Final Demand, who is a very sharp price to win the Brown Advisory Novices Chase. You think, and I know from the way you're talking about him, you just think he's got a little bit of X factor, do you?
Look, I suppose you can look at it two ways. Did he give his running proper running in Cheltenham? Or did he give it in Punchestown? Like, he looked imperious in Punchestown. He looks vulnerable in what he did in Cheltenham, obviously. But he does look at an out-and-out three-mile chaser, doesn't he? He looks at the hallmarks of a three-mile chaser anyway. And he's going to be Mullins. He's Townend more than likely. I mean, I can see a situation. Worst-case scenario for a layer at 5-2 now is you can see a Monkfish, a 4-1 on in a five-horse race. You know what I mean? But it is a possibility. Like, if they only relying on one horse in that race, maybe, It's very likely going to be him, and there may be a dearth of potential challengers coming. They're not that easy to find, really, the big dangers to them, to be honest.
Yeah, stay in novice chasers. You're kind of going, where are they? Aren't
well,
you?
That's a good point, because the winner of the Turners is staying over hurdles. The second, the Yellow Clay, staying over hurdles. Yeah. Jasmine Deville wouldn't trust him to jump a fence, can't even jump a hurdle. So you look at, you're struggling, aren't you?
Even the likes of Potter's Charm, I hear that's staying over.
That's staying over hurdles, yeah. So you're sort of struggling for horses that are going to go chasing. One I thought from sort of left field was the Coral Cup winner, Jimmy DeSoy. Mm-hmm. That was a very impressive performance. Not many horses win Coral Cups like he did on his first run back. He's got loads of Cheltenham form. I presume he's going chasing. What's left for him, unless they go down the stairs hurdle route. I thought he was an interesting novice chaser, because I like battle-hardened handicap hurdlers going into the chases. I think they've just got a little bit more gumption about them rather than these horses that have been doddling around and not having to see another horse. So he was just one from left field that I thought was quite interesting, and you're going to tell me he's staying turdling and
no.
he's injured. And
on that team, can I chuck a name at you?
Yeah.
Jericho de Repenay.
Yeah.
He ran at Sandown over fences and it was just a catastrophe from start to finish, but the vibes before that day, whatever happened when he was kicking out in his box or whatever, the vibes before that day were that he'd schooled beautifully in Seven Barrows, and he brought his form to a new level last season. I know he was beaten in the Pretemps final, but he did win a Punchestown, and when you look around for these staying novice chasers, there's not that many of them. Jericho de Repenay is one that I think could progress into a potential Brown Advisory contender, but then it goes back to your point, Johnny. You're talking about Final Demand, who could be a Gold Cup horse, and I don't think Jericho de Repenay is a Gold Cup horse, so again it's probably a price thing. I just think he could have a good season this season, Jericho.
I think that's a division where you can see opposition evaporating.
That's right,
isn't it? And that's the thing, and plus there are so many handicap options for first season chasers who go there, get a few runs into them, and they've got their options. They've got your National Hunt Chase, you've got the Ultimate, you've got the
only thing you'd say is that something like Jimmy DeSoy or Jericho de Repenay, they're not going to get in lightly now, are they? They're going to be
some of them
now.
High. Some
of the good ones.
Some of them higher up, but you can still run in a mid to high 140s, can't you?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And have a chance at winning a decent pot against more exposed.
Give
horses.
Us the Brown Advisory Market there, Pat.
At the moment, final demand is 5-2. Then you've got the likes of Jasmine DeVoe, Western Fold of Gordon Elliott. He's already come out and won, hasn't he? The best Westerners quoted, Honesty Policy, they're all 20-25-1. I was thinking, who's the first horse that's going to be quoted at odds on to win at the festival? And it's probably going to be Final Demand, because as Johnny has alluded to, we're sort of in Monkfish, he's scaring away the opposition. It's probably going to be a small field. I think Final Demand will be the first horse to get an odds on quote for the race at Cheltenham. And I could see the race just cutting up and it's no real interest to the public on the day. If he comes out and he dazzles first time out, we're all going to be going as bookmakers, that's the one. We're not going to take him on. We're not going to be brave. We'll just sit bottom price him. And I think he's the one that's likely to be odds on first.
We've been here before. We have,
yeah, fortunately.
Exactly last year. Everyone was sitting here saying,
well, this is it. There's still not good things on the day,
they're not good things on the day. Yes. It's jumping.
Look at the ones
at Cheltenham. If it's good ground at Cheltenham, you're going to have four or five.
But there might only be five
runners
against him this time around.
Yeah, but there might be four other Willie Mullins.
I'm one of those people, when it comes to any post, I'm happy to let it all develop and then lay all the favs on the day. Mm. Because, you'll make as much money at doing
Johnny
that.
Johnny back if you were to which I'd say, would you?
He doesn't get that involved, do you? You don't get, especially in the novice races.
The thing about Final Demand is he kind of dispelled the Mudlark theory in Punchestown.
Yes.
That's the thing, plus thing for him, I think, anyway. I don't want to back him at 5-2, but if you said to me there's a lump there at 5-2, do you want to lay it? I wouldn't want to lay it. I wouldn't, because I can see a situation, as the boys alluded to, this race cutting up 6-7 runners, maybe one is relying on one star horse, a lot of horses avoiding him even throughout the year, getting handicapped for other races and everything, ducking him. He could conceivably, like if he turns up in a novice chase and say punches down 2-6 first time out, he'd be 4 on. He goes to another, if he does win as he likes, he could be, he'd be 3-4-1 on every day he runs. So there'd be small fields against him too.
The point is as well, as I was alluding to earlier, when you've got 75% of the best horses in one yard, he's going to be 1-4 and then 1-3, and then he'll go to a group one at the grade one at the Dublin Racing Festival and he'll win that and he could start.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he's, I mean, that's, I just wouldn't back him.
Yeah, there's a lot of ifing going on there too.
A lot of ifs.
Yeah, ifing, you know. But I wouldn't be in a rush to lay him at 5-2.
Yeah,
okay, so the staying novice chase division centres around Final Demand, we think. We're taking on Kopeck de Boer, it sounds like, in the Arkell division. Oh. Have you found that in Forrester could potentially win an Arkell?
I haven't found it. I like Romeo Culio as a horse, though. Like, you know what I mean? I just like the way he gallops, and I'm sure that if he takes to chasing, going from the front, a nice front running, go for it.
Is he a level above Firefox?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I definitely do. And there was an issue with Firefox had, can't remember who it was, he was related to another horse that didn't particularly take well to fences, and I don't like that. So with him going in that last year, but I'm not so concerned about Romeo Culio. I think he will take the fences, and we'll wait and see.
Okay, and Gordon was obviously very complimentary about him. Hmm. So Romeo Culio, what price Romeo Culio to win the Arkell, Pat?
Currently 20-1, which makes some sort of appeal, doesn't it?
That's a big price.
You know, for a horse that's been third at the last two Cheltenham festivals, so 20-20 at one shot. Like, you know, I mean, I think he's going to be a better chaser than a hurdler. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give us the market there for the Arkell, Pat.
7-2 Lalamba, 4-1 Kopeck de Boer. Who knows what price he'll be come then? And then you're into 14 and 16 bar Salvador Mundi at 16, William Money 14. Yeah, so Irrancy, another one that's possible. Romeo Culio, I could see wisdom in him each way, but I think that's the way to go. Look for these each way contenders, I think.
Johnny was a bit lukewarm. He's taken on Lulamba this season. Is Lulamba, do we just see Sergino when we look at Lulamba and really he's not Sergino?
Absolutely, he's not Sergino. I'm with Johnny. Poneros was rated 86 on the flat, wasn't he? He was no world beater on the flat. And he beat him. And I watched it again last night. And he beat him perfectly fairly. Mm. It wasn't a fluke. He came from behind him. He did all the things that you're not supposed to do at Cheltenham, and he won perfectly fairly. I don't think the Triumph Hurdle, I think he's overrated. But he's a lovely, they'd say, a nice big, he's going to be a better chaser.
Lovely.
He's going to be a better chaser, isn't he? But I don't know, he's not for me, Lulamba.
Okay, so what was it, Lulamba, what price is he?
Lulamba, 7-2.
7-2, no way.
Yeah, that's short. Anyway.
That is short.
Yeah, the horse that got beat by 100-1 shot at Cheltenham is still 7-2. I mean, what price would he have been if he'd won the Triumph?
So that's our novice chasers. What about our novice hurdlers? And I know you bumped into Willie Mullins, didn't you? He could have a thing or two to say about the Supreme and the Turners.
Yeah, that well-known flat race trainer, Willie Mullins. I was with him at Newmarket for the Cesarewitch meeting, and I did ask him specifically about Bambino Fever, because she's one that she could have several targets to go for. She's our current 12-1 favourite for the Supreme. She'd get the mayor's allowance, of course. She could just stick to the mayor's novice hurdle. Who knows what's likely with her, but she's 12-1 at the moment, 16-1 bar. None of these, of course, we've seen jump a hurdle in public, so there's a long way to go in this market. But if you guess the right one, you're probably going to have a, you know, maybe the favourite on the day. But as things stand, Bambino Fever 12. We're waiting for them to come out over hurdles and provide the wow factor, and then we'll assess from there. But it's always a vibrant market, this.
Bambino Fever, favourite for the Supreme. Who was the last mayor to win the Supreme?
Like a Butterfly. Like a Butterfly was the last mayor.
You're very quick there, King. Well done.
I know what I'm doing. There wasn't a mayor's hurdle back then either, like a mayor's novice.
Can you name the one before that?
Oh, God. Oh, wow.
Tourist attraction.
Royal Ballerina?
French Ballerina. Yeah, I was going to say that, funny enough. I think it's the last winner I backed, to be fair.
The Supreme, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's favourite. A mare is favourite, but not only is a mare favourite, a mare trained by Willie Mullins is favourite. Now, we all know here that Willie Mullins has probably got somewhere between 12 and 20 novice hurdlers that we haven't even heard of, all geldings. Right? At least one of them is going to turn out to be absolutely top class. So then you get the shuffling about. So, you know, I couldn't be dreaming of having a bet now. It's fantastic, you know, fascinating to see horses come along. There's loads of ones that we're looking forward to. One that I'm looking forward to is My Daddy Paddy, of Dan Skelton's. They've been talking him up a lot. I hope, you know, it'd be great if Britain did have more success in the novice hurdles. Obviously, Dan Skelton won the Turners last year. But it's very hard to become a firm view about anything now, isn't it? We haven't seen any of them jump.
Absolutely, yeah. And I know you're speaking to you before, Johnny, and up in the ante and stuff. Like, you think when you do get a proper Willie Mullins favour for these novice races, the number one does tend to properly be the number one.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We've seen evidence of that last year, even more so than ever. But finding the number one is the key. That's the key. And there's so many horses being brought out of France now for huge amounts of money that... I agree with what Tom was saying there. We probably haven't even heard of what's going to be favoured for the race like the Supreme. It's a bit like in the Triumph Order. These horses that we don't know anything about, it's very hard to have bets in these races now. Especially with like the Bambino Fever, it makes it even more difficult because that could run in a Fury. At least if you're back in a gelding, it can't run in the mayor's novice hurdle. But if you're back in Bambino Fever, that thing is in the back of your head, which is maybe they'll switch her to the mayor's race and leave another gelding sale soon for the Supreme.
You think you found a dark one from the Willie Mullins stable?
But that's for the 2.5 mile race. Yep. Yeah. I like the look of a horse called Dr. Dominil. He's actually favoured for the race, so it's nothing like you're not inventing the wheel, picking him or anything like that. But I just got to. You know, when a horse hits you, when he won a bumper in Cork. Now, Cork wouldn't be a place where you'd be thinking that you'd be seeing a future Cheltenham winner normally, but he won a race at Easter, his 5-year-old horse, I think it's by Dr. Dino, and he won like an aeroplane. Now he did. He won almost very similar to the horse that won the last year's Supreme in Fairyhouse. Remember that horse?
Copec the Boy. Yeah,
when he won his bumper in Fairyhouse, he didn't beat a whole lot, you'd have said, but he won it with authority, and this is something similar. Well, the horse that he beat in Mallow or Cork is the Devil You Know, who will definitely win races. It wasn't that bad a race. I think he won 11 and 13 lengths, and I've a feeling that he's a top horse anyway.
Give us that name again.
Dr. Dumenil.
What I will say to you, it sounds like he's a single figure price. He's not. He's 14-1 with us,
yeah.
And there's bigger elsewhere. Again, lots of hoops to jump through with these races, but you know, it is a 16-1 chance Johnny's putting up there.
Is there a chance, Tom? A little input from me here. Is there a chance that Wind Beneath My Wings is a bit of a freak? That Ascot performance was like, whoa! What have we seen here? Is there a chance that David Pipe is coming back to the big time with Wind Beneath My Wings?
He looked really good. There is a chance. Yeah, I mean, when you win a bumper like that at Ascot, you know, doing, you know, without coming off the bridle, you're clearly a very talented horse. So there is. I just think, you know, I know the new Lion won, but it's few and far between that the Brits get the better of Willie Mullins these days. I mean, do you know what I mean? I presume Willie had a chance, could have got wind beneath my wings if he'd wanted at some stage. I like the Dr. Dino thing. I think Willie has a really good feel for those horses. Charger, State Man, Dino Blue. I've read many times about how he likes them. I've got a different horse to Johnny. It's also by Dr. Dino, and it's owned by JP, who's bought it off Jackie Mullins, called Love Me Tender, that won the other day at Tipperary.
Very correct.
I wonder whether JP has this new theory, and I don't know this for a fact, whereby he runs his horses, he gets their experience into them in the summer months.
Davy Crockett,
like Mystical Power,
mm-hmm.
and misses running in those muddy 2 mile hurdles in the winter, where they might forget how to jump, or things get more tricky then, yeah. and keeps them back for the Cheltenham at the end of the season. And I wonder whether he's done that with Davy. I know Davy Crockett's had a problem, hasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Davy Crockett's had a problem, but love, and so I wonder whether that's why he's doing it. Getting some experience to them when the ground's good, so they get their slicker jumping together. And I liked Love Me Tender. I thought he was really good the other day. I love horses that spy hurdles and quicken into them. I think that's a really good sign in a proper hurdler. All the best hurdlers do that. And I thought Love Me Tender did that. I think if you see after the race, Paul Townend said he was looking for the next hurdle. He couldn't wait to get after, you know, it's like eating them. He wants to get into them. Do you know what I mean? And I like horses like that. And Love Me Tender, you know, the form is what it is, but it was mightily quicker than the graded hurdle. I mean, I think it was like 5 or 6, 7 seconds faster than Gosha took. Now, Gosha's not a brilliant horse and would have been thrashed by James Bowe's horse that day, but is it James Bowe? Colin Bowe.
Michael Bowe.
Michael Bowe. I got it. It's yep. one of those. It's a Bowe anyway.
Killing, yep.
It's not Riddick Bowe, I can assure you. But do you know what I mean? And I thought that was just a really good performance from a horse that's going places. And, you know, he's won every race. Why couldn't he be very good? And just because he's run in the summer, we shouldn't forget these horses. Because I wonder whether that's a thing that trainers might be thinking about going forward.
So Love Me Tender, Tom, is thrown into the mix. I'm throwing Wind Beneath My Wings into the mix. Dr. De Maneil, for you, anything else you want to get out there, Keels, off your chest?
No, I mean, the one that I like, you know, from Britain is My Daddy Paddy.
Yeah. Everyone tells me about My Daddy Paddy. Everywhere I go, people say My Daddy Paddy.
Yeah, Hunter doesn't look really good. Yeah. The Skeletons have both been quite, ebullient about him. So.
And we have been around the Racing Post office to find out their horses to follow for the season. I wonder, will My Daddy Paddy be in one of these?
My jumps horse to follow this season is Game Bull, trained by Henry de Bromhead, and he's won both of his races to date impressively. He's well related, being a half-brother to Maria's Rock, who won at the Cheltenham Festival a few years ago. He has a stamina-laden pedigree, but he looks to possess plenty of speed, and in a 2 mile novice hurdle division this season, he should do very well.
My horse to follow for the jump season is Joyo Mashan. He's trained by Dan Skelton. Very promising reappearance at Chepstow last week. He was unlucky not to win a couple of races towards the end of last season, and I expect he'll cash in this term.
My horse to follow for the jump season is the Wall Park. He progressed into a top-class stayer last year, third in the stayer's hurdle, fourth at Aintree as well. But the stayer's hurdle at Cheltenham has a history of horses getting beaten first time out and then coming back next year and getting the job done. Tiapu did it a couple of seasons ago. Bob Ollinger last year, of course, a Cheltenham specialist, an old-timer. So experience is very much the key. And now they know the Wall Park's good enough, they can start from scratch this season and work backwards from the stairs hurdle. So hopefully the Wall Park will be good enough this time around.
My horse to follow for this jump season is Ask Brewster, trained by Evan Williams. He caught my eye in the spring, this horse, when he won at Chepstow and at Cheltenham. He stayed on like an absolute champ when he won over 3.5 miles at Cheltenham, and he picked up where he left off back at Chepstow last week. He won there again and completed the hat trick. He's still only 6, and connections have mentioned the Scottish Grand National for this horse in the spring, but I just think the rate that he's going forward anywhere where there's a marathon trip and good ground, Ask Brewster is going to be a threat this season.
Hello, my horse to follow this season is a horse called Small Doses. I think you're going to be hearing a lot more about this horse. It's a 5-year-old trained by Paul Nolan. He's a half-brother to the Connections Potemps final winner, Mrs. Milner. He's off 120th of his opening mark. I think that's very fair on what he's done He's got some eye-catching form and maiden hurdles over 2 miles. He's going to improve again, step top and trip, and I think he could be in for a very big season for Paul Nolan.
Liam Head, Racing Post, Landmore correspondent here. My jumps horse to follow for the 25-26 season is Wendigo, trained by Jamie Snowden. He had a really great campaign over hurdles last season, winning a couple of times, and ran a cracking second behind the New Lion in the Grade 1 shallow hurdle at Newbury in December. He backed that up with an impressive fifth place finish in the Albert Bartlett at the Cheltenham Festival. Travelling really well that day, but he got badly hampered, which kind of ruled him out of contention for winning, but he stayed on strongly and shaped with real promise. He's going chasing this season for Snowden, and the yard is very much on the up, so he is one to consider over the bigger obstacles.
And folks, don't forget to get involved with our Big Jump Off show. Get your comments in and don't forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Are the lads talking sense? Love me tender. Do you fancy him potentially to win a Turner's Novice Hurdle? Or do you like Win Beneath My Wings like I do? Yes, get your thoughts into us here in the Big Jump Off. And as you can see, the Big Jump Off supplement, it's out today, Monday, in your Racing Post newspaper. So you still got time to go down to your local shop to get your Big Jump Off supplement in today's Racing Post. And if you don't get around to that, there is hope for you. There is the PDF version to buy via the Racing Post shop online, and the link to that is in the description. So you've got it there. The link is in the description if you want to get the Big Jump Off supplement. It's Champion Chasers time here on the Big Jump Off. Can Jambon finally get the job done? Or is Marie Nationale going to go back to back? Give us a market check for the 2026 Champion Chase, Pat.
Well, neither of them head the market. Sergino is our market leader at the moment at 3-1. 4 Marie Nationale and 2 at 8-1. Il Etté Temps and Majbra. 12 John Bon, 14 Caliph de Burley. John Bon, no, I think his moment in the sun has come and gone when it comes to winning Champion Chases. I'm sure he could still win at Sandown. Sergino, much loved. Going to be tippy-toes with him, really, isn't he, in order to get him there. The horse that I like is Il Etté Temps of Willie Mullins. He won our Bet 365 race the final day of the season at Sandown in April. And I spoke to Willie Mullins after the race, and he was pretty amazed the horse beat John Bon so emphatically as he did. He's a lightly raced horse, things haven't gone his way. But he absolutely won so easily that day. Now, maybe he's best in the spring, so putting him up now might be a bit of a leap of faith. But hopefully all of these front five or six go out there on the day and we'll have a real, real burn-up in the race. Sergino favourite, but you'd like to see him come out and do it at the moment. But again, I think this is a talent-packed race, but I did like the Sandown version of Il Etté Temps, albeit that was at the end of the season, so we wait and see. But this will be a vibrant market because it looks as though there's going to be different opinions about this race all the way through.
Johnny, is Marie Nationale getting the love he deserves? Is he getting the credit? He was an explosive winner of the race last season.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt he's a good horse, and he did it on probably ground soft enough for him too. Look, it turned out an ordinary race. It did, though, to be fair. Like, the race did cut up, and like John Bond put himself out of it. It wasn't the greatest start, and then it finished up worse. But saying that, I wouldn't be shocked if he's the horse with a lot of ability. I wouldn't be shocked if he's there again come March. Yeah, he'd definitely be a contender. I think Majbra does the horse to beat if he stays at 2 miles. I don't see why he won't either. I see people intimate that he may go up and trip, but I don't see what they're going to go up for. To clash with Factor File in a Ryanair, I don't see that happening myself. And like, he would have bolted in the Arkle if he had jumped a second last fence, no doubt about that. So he's the horse on the way up. Like, I'd say I'd like to go for a second, a horse out of novice company, in going for a Champion Chase, and he fits that bill. Whereas Marie Nationale fit that bill last year. He was a novice the previous year, even though he didn't do a lot as a novice, but he was still good enough to win the Champion Chase. I agree with Pat, the likes of John Bond, like, he's surely his time has passed.
Well, he's been second in the Supreme, he's been second in an Arkle, he's been second in the Champion Chase. Is this his season, John Bond?
Oh, he's had his chances in the Champion Chase now. He's had a golden opportunity there last year when he fell into third place, so you couldn't fancy him, really.
And he was second.
Was he second or third?
Second, yeah.
He's beat a distance, wasn't he? Like,
yeah,
you
know, he was, yeah.
He would have been third, and the horse of the Brahmins fell at the last, but
that's right.
Like, it wasn't much of an effort, was it, really, to be honest, in that kind of a race. Look, I do think this is open to a horse coming in, something like Majbra. Yeah.
Does Majbra's jumping worry you?
A fraction, yeah, sure, it does a bit, yeah, but like, he can get better.
John Bon Mark II, isn't he?
He needs more match practice, to be sure, yeah, he does.
He's John Bon Mark II, isn't he? He's going to win a few races on the way, and then he's going to belt one at Cheltenham in a Champions Chase, just like John Bond does, and not win. And JP will still be looking for his Champion Chase winner. He's obviously very talented, isn't he? And but that was, I mean, that wasn't. I don't think that was a very good Arkle last year, apart from him. And he just, you know, he should have won it. But how many horses should have won? Like, you know, you've still got to jump. You've still got to jump. And when you make mistakes like that, you don't win the big races. So I wouldn't have him.
Who could you have?
Well, I don't know. Marine Nationale's the one to beat, isn't he? Because he was, you know, he got everything absolutely bang on right, and he's a fluent jumper, so he's the one to beat. Sergino could be a superstar, but there was talk about him never racing again. Only a few months ago. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't think you can touch him yet. You got to wait and see. No, nobody really knows what's going to happen until he goes into a race. So it's Marine Nationale for me is the one to beat. I'd like to see Caliph de Burley get up there, but he's got a huge amount to do on what he's done, because it was, you know, let's face it, it wasn't a great grade one that he won at Aintree by any stretch of the imagination, but he is only five still, and you know, he's been the apple of Pornick's eye for a while, and he might get up there. He's got a long way to go though, so for me, it's Marine Nationale is very much the one to beat.
Yeah, absolutely. Caliph de Burley could have a good season if the Sergino we saw at Kempton comes back. And Everton is good and Everton is fine. Is he like the next big thing in jump racing?
Could be. He looked a superstar, didn't he? But there's a big if now, isn't there? I know they're taking baby steps with him. Every single day they take baby steps with him. I mean, I know Nicky Henderson, when I spoke to him, thought he might never not be here, let alone winning Champion Chases in the near future. So I think it's a bit of a wacky theory, but I think there could be a JP switcheroo here. I think he wants to win this race more than any other. Wouldn't surprise me one bit if Factor File ended up in the Champion Chase. It wouldn't surprise me one bit, because the way he went round the Ryanair, you can't tell me he doesn't have the speed for a two-mile race around there. He would have whacked. He's better than John Bond. He's better than John Bond, in my opinion, now. Madborough's got it to prove. If Madborough's jumping goes to pot and he doesn't think he can win it, it wouldn't surprise me if they switched him. And if Factor File runs in a Champion Chase, I would be all over him.
You had your fingers burnt at Punchestown over 2 miles of Factor File. Does that worry you?
Look, I mean, they kind of experimented with the 2 mile in Punchestown. It didn't seem to work. But you'd excuse any horse running poorly in Punchestown, really, because he was beaten very early on.
He was beaten before they jumped the first, yeah, I thought. Yeah, that is not the horse that won the
thing
ride.
Is, when you've run your monster career best, and then you're coming out of punch, it's an afterthought, isn't it?
Like, but if he was in the same form he was in the Ryanair, he'd win the Champion Chase. I have no doubt about it. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Like, the standard that's already in the Champion Chase is definitely not an insurmountable one, is right. It's wide open for someone to step in and tear him apart, I think.
Okay.
Do you think, you guys think, that if Factor File running it, he would be favourite?
I think he probably would. Yeah, I think he's one of them horses that will always be a short price, no matter where he runs.
He'd have to win at 2 miles before he ran into Champion Chase to be favourite, I think, because what he did in Punchestown is going to be in the back of people's minds. But like, if they campaigned him at 2.5 and two all the way through, and then put him in a Champion Chase, I don't see him being favourite. But if he did go to somewhere like the Victor Chandler in race in Ascot, is it?
Clarence House.
Yeah, the Clarence House. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And if he won that by, like, impressively, then he'd be favoured for the Champion Chase, yeah.
How does he end up in a Champion Chase? That's what that would be my fear of Factor File, because if he goes to the Durkin, he goes to the King George. What makes him end up in a Champion Chase?
Because JP wants to win the Champion Chase more than any other. It's the one big race he's never won, isn't it? He's won. He couldn't care about the Ryanair, let's be honest. He wants to win the Champion Chase. And if Madborough fluffs his lines, I could see Madborough going up in Keels, going up in Trip. Yep. and Factor File coming back, because he can win it. We've seen it time and time again, horses come back in Trip and do it.
Yeah, one man did it, of course. What price is Factor File for the Champion Chase, Pat?
He's 16 to 1. Wouldn't you like to be on with a run, you know, and take it?
Well, Pat, this is where you come in. I can't help you on this one, but you can.
But he would be, well, a lot would happen if Sergino looks like the next big thing, then maybe they would say, oh, look, win a Ryanair, you know, we'll be fine. But if you're backing horses anti-post, 16 to 1, you know.
See that my way of thinking about betting is that I wouldn't have much on, but if I could get 16 to 1 about a Factor File, now when he could be 2-1, as Johnny was intimating there. I don't think that's a bad bet. You take the, I'd take the risk of losing.
Well, you'll remember he was 16-1 for the Ryanair at the same time as he was 3s for the Gold Cup last year.
Yeah, and therefore, you know, I'm not going to have the garden gate on it, but I could have some on it at 16-1.
Huge garden. 10 gates in the garden. There you go, 16-1 back to file for the champion chase for Tom Siegel, and he's price-wise.
So, folks, now it's time to find out who our panel thinks is the best handicapped horse going into the jump season, the one horse who's miles ahead of their mark. We'll start off with you, Tom.
Well, thanks, DJ. I've gone for a horse of Evan Williams that's going to be an out-and-out staying chaser. I think the class there is very low. I don't think there's many staying chasers around. It's called Ask Brewster. He won at Chepstow the other day. He won very easily. He's won over 3.5, I think, round Cheltenham. I just think he's a horse going forward who's lowly rated because he did nothing over at the start of his career, but he's won 3 on the trot, or a few on the trot now. And I think he's the type of horse that Evan Williams does incredibly well with, and I can see him winning some staying chases off his current mark and way above.
There you go. Ask Brewster has got a great attitude. Tom kicks us off. Ask Brewster is the best handicapped horse going into the jump season.
I like to look at Waterford Whispers. He actually doesn't have a mark as such yet. He might have one now, but he's run 3 times over fences.
He's got a mark this morning, 165, Johnny. Is he the best handicapped horse?
Well, he was 1-3, middle 130, 133 over hurdles, so I expect something similar over fence. He hasn't done anything over fences to suggest he's going to get a higher rating than anyway over the ladder.
What do you like about him?
I just think that he was good enough to finish second in the Martin Pipe. He's been doing a bit of touring over fences so far. He's got to 3 runs. Like, there's the 3 runs in, so they'll have 2 runs easily more by the time March comes. So he'd be eligible for a whole host of races. Open handicaps like the William Hill Chase or even the Kim Muir or even the 2.5 mile race, Trusted Trail. He'd be open to a whole load of races. But if he's not a better horse than 133, I'd give it up.
I would have given you 100-1 that he got the name right of that handicap chase, and he got it. He nailed Trust a Trader. That was amazing.
Unbelievable scenes here. That was 100-1 shot. Well done,
Johnny.
He
had a lot of work done at home.
Johnny has spent the summer going over the list of the names of the races at Cheltenham.
Yeah,
absolutely. The Sun Lions hurdle is no longer, Johnny. So it is Waterford Whispers for Johnny. For you, Keels.
Yeah, filly of Nikki Henderson's called That's Nice. She's won 3 out of 4. She beat Honky Tonk Highway earlier in the season under a penalty. He's rated 129. She beat him quite comfortably. She then went off at odds on to beat Wingmen and Country Mile, I think it was. And they are now rated 137, 139. She didn't run a race at all that day. She was tailed off last four. Then just come out and won very, very easily on a bang average race. But she's been given a mark of 126. If she isn't a stone better than that, I'm a Chinaman.
That's a nice mark.
Yeah.
And for you, Pat?
I would say to anyone, just go onto the Racing Post website, go back to what was undeniably the ride of the season last year. It was Sean Bowen winning on a horse called Boost the Bob, trained by Ollie Murphy. And he won over 2.5 miles at Newbury. Even the ambulance was in front of him for the first 2 miles. Sean Bowen, absolutely majestic ride. Came through, he ended up winning on the bridle, would you believe? So he must be a hugely talented horse, massive engine, trained by Ollie Murphy. I think we'll see him on the end of November at Newbury, over in the 2.5 mile race. I think it's the Sir Peter O'Sullivan handicap chase. Just watch him win at Newbury. It was an amazing ride, and he wouldn't have gone up too much for it for the overall verdict. So he starts the year particularly well handicapped. Some engine, this horse.
Booster Bob for Pat. And I'm going to take the short go from the Henry de Bromhead stable, who's rated 128, ran a cracker in the Ultima last year when things didn't go according to plan, finished second at the showcase meeting last season as well. I think this is a good horse when things fall right for the short go and starts the season off a mark of 128. So it's a short go for me. Those are your 5 best handicapped horses going into the jump season. So now it's time for our 5 to follows. Yes, our 5 to follows for the jump season. And Tom wants me to kick off, so I'll kick off. And I'll kick off with the horse that Johnny poo-pooed earlier in the show, to use your language, Johnny.
All right.
Yeah, Diello Clay. I think he could be a stairs hurdle contender. I would forget that run of punch then. He was over the top. I would more judge him on the run in the Turners, where he did push the new line all the way to the line. The new line is favoured for the champion hurdle. Final demand is favoured for the Brown Advisory. And you can get, I think, 25-1, maybe 33-1 about the Yellow Clay winning the Stairs hurdle. I think that division is ripe for something coming through, and I think the Yellow Clay might be it. So the Yellow Clay is first on my list. A horse that I love, and I love this run at Aintree, is Gidley Park. Gidley Park has the potential. He's very, very fragile, but he's the potential to be a really top-class horse. Wouldn't surprise me if he turned into a Ryanair contender this season. So I'm definitely getting Gidley Park in there. Cracking run when just beaten by Imperi Pass at Aintree. Win Beneath My Wings, I think, could be a supreme contender. So he's next on my list. I thought he looked a bit of a freak when he won at Ascot. Cargese. Yes, Cargese, 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 whatever way you want to pronounce it yourself. She's going chasing, and she could be anything. She could be an Arkle contender. She could be a mare's chase horse. Who knows? But I think Cargese is going to rank very highly amongst the novice chasers. And my final selection, which I wanted to change, but it was too late for graphic purposes because Johnny told us that Lulamba was his horse to swerve for the season. Lulamba is also in my five to follow. I think when he steps up and trip, I don't think he's a two-miler. I think the further he goes, the better he's going to be. So Lulamba is my final one of my five to follow. There you go. They don't care about me, though, Tom. They want to know your five to follow. Who have you got?
Well, this is going to be a test of memory, isn't it, from start to finish. But we'll start off with Love Me Tender, who I think is a horse going forward. I really liked him at Tipperary. The next one is a horse of Henry de Bromhead's that won over on his chase debut the other day called Tap on the Go. I liked him in the Martin Pike last year. I thought he did everything wrong and still finished fourth. I think he's going to be a staying chaser to follow. Not sure he'll be RSA or Brown Advisory standard.
Well done.
But I think he'll be a horse that can win a good handicap somewhere. The other three are... I'm going to try and remember
them. Tom, here we go.
The other three are horses that have run recently, because I think trying to forecast... I don't even know whether these horses are still in training, the ones with, you know, or haven't had a problem. There's one of Lucinda Russell's called The Hatchet, who won at Perth the other day. I just love the way he jumped, the way he attacked his hurdles, and the horse that he beat. I know it's only a three-runner race, but absolutely bolted up yesterday at Sedgefield or somewhere. It's not brilliant form, but he's the type of horse they do really well with, and I think he'll be a good chaser. And now I've forgotten the other two, so help me.
I can certainly help you. You've got Secret Force.
Secret Force, interesting. Frankel out of Udubawi mare. You'd expect him to be running on Champions Day or in book one of the Tattersall's, you know, sales or whatever. But I was really impressed with him on his debut the other day for Gavin Cromwell. It was quite a good race he won. I think he was at Punchestown, one Monday. There was a lot of winners in there. Few winners in there. He was sixth and, you know, coming to the home turn. It's one of those races that you don't think anything's going to win impressively. Jumps the last in front and scoots away on the bridle to win by 6 or 7 lengths. I just thought he was the type of horse that Gavin Cromwell does really well with. He's the type of horse that, you know, could be a proper Triumph Hurdle horse going forward. So he was definitely one from left field that I thought.
Beautiful.
And you're going to remind me of the last one.
I am. It's Rocky's Diamond.
Rocky's Diamond. Yeah, what a good horse he is. Fifth, was he fourth in the champ Stayers Hurdle last year? Five-year-old?
He's come a long way in a short space of time, hasn't he?
Is he a five-year-old at the time? Yeah. That's a hard thing to do, to run that well in a Stayers Hurdle as a five-year-old. He's a good stayer, and I like the way he jumped at Galway on his debut. I read afterwards that the Quillies weren't planning on sending him to Cheltenham. There was other races on the pipeline before then, but they will, because they always run him at Cheltenham when they get to it. They ran him last year as a five-year-old, so I could see him being a horse to be reckoned with over fences. I really like him.
There we go. That's the five to follow from price-wise. It's Rocky's Diamond, Tap and the Go, Secret Force, The Hatchet, and Love Me Tender. Tom Siegel's five to follow for the season. Johnny, you're up next.
Yeah, look, I'm going to put up Mejbra for the Champion Chase division. I just think he's only one gammy jump, and he's right there with the top horses. I do think it's not a great standard that he's going into as well. On top of that, I'm going to stick with Dr. de Menil for the putting him up as a possible Turner's horse, and I'm going to put up another horse for Willie Mullins and Sartudo. I think he will be going for maybe the Albert Bart, and I see him as an out and out staying horse, 3 miler. He's improved a lot as a bumper horse now. I think he won it maybe in Tramore, but he finished up winning places like Fairy House and beating good horses out of sight, and I'd say he's going to be a strong stayer, and with the amount of fringe horses that they'll have, he won't be going for the Supreme. I'm not so sure he'd be even quick enough for the middle, the intermediate race. So I could see him going out as an Albert Bartlett. He's one of the only pick anti-posts for that race right now. And I'm going to put up two English horses. I'm going to put up Kingston Queen as a mare to run, put up maybe a sequence in mare's novice hurdles races in England. I was at a thing the other day in Chepstow where that young Jack Tudor put it up. I like when them fellas put up horses from their own stables anyway, and said it's jump sweaters and everything right at home and all this. I think it was placed in the second in the entry bumper actually, so it's a smart horse anyway, yeah. Its own right. And the last one is the Kemble Brewery, who I think might be good enough to maybe run up a sequence as well over here in novice handicap chases. And I think that's going to be a top horse, but he could have a say in a race like the Grand Annual at the end of the season.
There you go, Johnny Dineen's 5 to follow for the jump season. It's Mashburn, Dr. De Menil. It is Sartudo, the Kemble Brewery, and Kingston Queen. Paul Keeley.
We'll start with a couple from Lucinda Russell. Derry Hass and Paddy ran really, really well in the Albert Bartlett last year. Very, very inexperienced. He'd only had a couple of runs, finished third. I think he's an out-and-out chaser written all over him, and the trainer says as much. They're expecting big things from him. She sounded so excited talking about him after Cheltenham last year that you've got to have him on your mind. Mayertown.
Mayertown.
Now, this is a good horse, and I was really annoyed because he would have been my banker for Cheltenham for the whole of the thing if I hadn't have done a preview with Tom, who said they were going to run at Utoxo, and apparently
that was the plan.
They thought they were sure they wouldn't get in, and of course he crept in right at the bottom. He was 16-1, went off 13-2, and he blew them away. Now, he's gone up £13, but he went off such a low mark. I think he's, if not quite top class, he might not be far off it. So he's still only rated 142. I think as long as there's a little bit of cut in the ground, it will take a very good horse to beat him in the Caldwell Cup at Newbury. I think he's going straight there, and I think he's going to be very hard to beat. So hopefully him. The others, that's nice. We've already spoken about for Nikki Henderson. Just think she's a mare that she's got a mark that's there to be taken advantage of. I don't know whether, you know, there's that race he won with Epitant at the Caldwell Cup meeting a few years ago, isn't there, that handicap?
The Jerry Fielder.
Was it that she won? Might have been. Yeah, but she's got such a low mark. She's going to, you know, she's going to be winning races without a shadow of a doubt. And we have two others, and I'm struggling. Yeah.
Okay, so you've got My Daddy Paddy.
Oh, My Daddy Paddy, yeah. My Daddy Paddy, again, a bit like Johnny says, like them talking up their own horses, but he looked the business at Huntingdon in his bumper, and they both, Harry and Dan Skelton, have been talking him up as though they fully expect him to be the business as well. So I'd imagine he's going to be one of the top British novice hurdlers this season.
Now listen up, right? This is important because Keels has got a scoop for us here, okay? It's final one of his 5 to follow. Not many of you would have heard of this, but you're about to hear a lot more about it.
Yeah, well, we know how much the Richies like a filly. We also know how much they like a grey filly. Well, they've got one called Manita, who's still listed on the Racing Post, has been trained by Yannick Fouin in France. He's won one, so she's running one hurdle finish, she's second. She's now with the Richies, she's now with Willie Mullins. They like the form, she's doing everything okay by all accounts, and they're quite hopeful they will have a good season with her. Whether she'll be another Lossy Mouth, who won the Triumph, she is only 3 obviously, is another matter. But that is, you know, the long-term aim, put it that way.
There we
we'll
go.
Wait and see.
Manita, you heard it here first, as part of Paul Keeley's 5 to follow, along with Derry Hass and Paddy, Mayertown, That's Nice, and My Daddy Paddy. And last, but by no means least, Pat Cooney.
Well, some big shoes to fill here. First up, Place de la Nation, 5th in the Triumph Hurdle for Willie Mullins. Still a maiden, so there's loads of targets for that one to aim at. So I'd be happy putting that one in. A possible Triumph Hurdle horse, Narcisco Hass, ex-French import trained by Willie Mullins in the J.P. McManus colours. He's not going to buy a dud, is he? Next up, Lucinda Russell, Derry Hass and Paddy, 3rd in the Albert Bartlett, going novice chasing. You could see him staying up north winning all them 3-mile novice chases. You'd like soft ground with him, that would be a prerequisite. My Daddy Paddy, when he won his bumper at Huntingdon, there was money for 3 or 4 others in that race, and he puts them to the sword very, very easily. Hard to assess, but that form of that Huntingdon race is quite good. And an interesting runner trained by Emmett Mullins. We're always in fear of Emmett Mullins on the bookmaking side of the fence, so I'm going to hop over and be with him. And this time, Soldier in Milan, who was last seen winning, I think it was about a 20-runner bumper in good style for Emmett, and in very capable hands. So I'm expecting big things from Soldier in Milan.
There we go. Soldier Milan, My Daddy Paddy, Derry Hassan Paddy, Narcisco Hass, and Place de Nation are Pacunis. Five to follow for the jump season. So this is it. This is the moment you've been waiting for. This is why you're watching the big jump off. It is bet of the season time. If you only have one anti-post bet for the jump season, this is going to be it. Tom Siegel.
I have three. I've got one written down here. The first one I like is Factophile. So we've said about him. The second one I like is Key de Bourbon in the National. Just simply because he's a very good horse and jumping doesn't matter in the National anymore. The one I think you've got here is just a horse of James Owen that won the other day, Amiz, in the Triumph Hurdle. He's 90 rated, but higher rated than East India Dock. He's higher rated than Pony Ross on the flat. He ran really well at Royal Ascot, ran really well at Glorious Goodwood. I just think he jumps really well. He's the type of horse that is going to be overlooked, but might go there on a sequence that might be a big price.
There we go. Amiz in the Triumph Hurdle for Tom Siegel. I'm going to take Cargis, who's got such a good Cheltenham record. I know she could go to the Arkell, but I think fences maybe might help her settle a bit better. So I'm going to go 25-1, bet365, Cargis for the Mayor's Chase. I think she's going to make a smashing chaser. 25-1, Cargis for the Mayor's Chase is my bet of the season. Johnny?
Yeah, I'll go Factophile for the King George. I just can't see them ignoring the King George. I mean, it is the second best chase of the...
Cert was the word you used
I think
earlier.
It's a good thing he's right, yeah. I think 4-1 is a great price. I just don't see them not taking up the opportunity this year.
There you go. Factophile 4-1 for the King George for Johnny. For Keels.
Yeah, this is a bit late for me for the big jump off because I put a few in there, but I'm going to go Il Ridotto for the Paddy Power Cold Cup, which he won last year. He actually ran miles better first time out this season than he did last year. He's only a pound higher. He absolutely hacked up last year. And I think something like 8 of the last 9 winners of the race had had a prep run. Bang on perfect. Ground won't be too soft either. You wouldn't have thought, given how dry it's been for the last God knows how long. So, yeah.
There we go. That is leg 4 of your Super Yankee. It is Il Ridotto in the Paddy Power Chase. And, Pat, complete our Super Yankee.
Yeah, it's in the Mayor's Chase. Brighter days ahead.
Not we can't do it now, Pat. You're taking me on.
Not many go chasing with her level of ability over hurdles. We all thought she might win the champion hurdle last year, didn't she? She's going chasing this year. She's the best mare in that event, the Mayor's Chase, Brighter Days Ahead. I think she'd get there unbeaten and be a short price favourite on the day.
There you go. That is Brighter Days Ahead in the Mayor's Chase for Pat. I'm with Cargis in the same race. We could have picked Danny, but we're going for the same race. It's Il Ridotto for Keels in the Paddy Power Chase. Johnny is with Factophile, he thinks is a good thing in the King George. And Tom is with Amiz in the Triumph Hurdle. Those are your best bets of the season. So that is a wrap, folks. That's it for our big jump off for the 2025-2026 jump season. All that's left to do now is to remind you to get your big jump off. Yes, it's in the shops today, Monday. And if you can't get to the shops, you can buy the PDF version and the Racing Post shop online. And the link is in the description. My thanks to my fantastic panellists, to Tom Siegel for coming out of the house, Mr. Priceways himself, thank you very much for joining us, to Johnny Dineen, who's come all the way from Yall, to Paul Keeley and to Pat Cooney from our sponsors, Bet365. I've been David Jennings. We've got months of glorious jump racing ahead. Enjoy it, and thanks for watching.